You got a good handshake this morning. And again, if you're glad you're here this morning, say amen. Amen. We're glad you're here. And again, welcome all our friends on the internet and the radio to Benson Grove Baptist Church. We're glad you're here. It's such a blessing to see you. The building's nearly about full this morning, and all the boys and girls have already gone out. We're sure glad you're here. Hope you're having a great summer and had some time to be with your family. Brother Ralph Sexton said something not long ago that kind of brought back memories to me. He said, you need to spend some time with your children. You take them. You won't have them but for about 18 summers. You think about that. Now, I know they get grown and they get married and they come back and hang around, you know. But for you to spend some time with your children, when you think about it in a lifespan, you only have 18 weekends, 18 summers to spend with your children. And I hope you have some time, make some memories. And we've been blessed to be with our family some this past week, and we were blessed. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. I hope you're reading through the Bible, 66 and 26. We're trying to read all 66 books. I started in Revelation, and I'm going backwards and reading toward Genesis. And I've got about half of the book of Numbers to finish, and then the last three books of the Bible. So you've got about 6 months. If you've not been reading, if you'll start reading, and I know some of you listen on audio, but I want you to fill your life and your heart with the Word of God. And it's such a blessing to have the Word of God in your heart. Again, I hope that you'll read your Bible, spend some time reading it. I went by, saw Ms. Delores yesterday, and she has a Bible right beside the chair she likes to sit in, and she has her church Bible that she keeps in a bedroom, I think she said. But she went and got her a good Bible with some good print, and so she can just sit right there and read it during the day. And she has really enjoyed doing that. What a blessing. Have a routine. Spend some time reading the Word of God, getting it in your heart and life. I've been going through the book of Deuteronomy. Some people talk about the Old Testament being dead and boring, but it's anything but that. Deuteronomy means second law. Here is a repeating of the law. Moses is recapping what God's done. He's talking about the guidelines for the Lord, including the Ten Commandments and other commandments. And as I've gone through, I was going to read a lengthy passage about the covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he initiated that covenant. They didn't come to him and said, God, we want to be in part of your plan. We want you to give us a land. God chose to do that. And he promised them a land, the land that we now call Israel. And he made that promise to Abraham initially, repeated to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And included that covenant, if you'll read chapter 29 and chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll understand something maybe that you would glimpse, like Brother Barry said, something you've not looked at before. We think about God's covenant with Abraham is that he promised them the land. And he did. He promised them the land. But if you'll study very carefully and look at chapter 28 and 29, you'll find incorporated in that covenant are blessings and curses. He promised them blessings, but he also promised them curses. He promised them health, and he promised them sickness. He promised them blessing. He promised them to give them the land. He promised them that he would judge them if they were disobedient. All of that is in the person and the promise of God. And the same thing's true. We're not under the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. Not the Old Covenant, but the New Covenant. They were looking forward. And God prophesied that to them. But he promised them, just as surely I'll bless you if you'll be obedient to me and love me with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. If you forsake me, I will judge you. That's a promise. It's a promise of judgment and a promise of blessing. And he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And it's how you respond to the Word of God is which one you receive. You can be blessed. You can be in heaven for the rest of your life. You can have all your sins forgiven. You can have any of that. But also, if you disobey him, the wages of sin is death. If you choose not to accept Christ, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And he said, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chick, but you would not come to me that you might have life. And so God promised you life and blessing and heaven, but he also promised judgment, eternity, and hell if you don't trust him. That's all part of the deal. And you understand that. He also promised Israel that if they would repent, they could have revival and he would bless them. Now, as I'm reading through all these things and all the laws and everything else, I came across a verse that just kind of stood out to me, and it blessed me so a few mornings ago as I was reading, felt like the Lord laid it on my heart to share it with you this morning. He's in the book of Deuteronomy. He's talking about all the judgments of God and all, what he'll do to them if they disobey him. He's talking about the commands. He talks about what blessings they'll receive and if they obey him. He talks about if they do disobey and he judges them and scatters them among other nations, if they will repent, turn from their sin and call on him, he would restore them. And right in the middle of that, he gives them some instruction. He said, when you come into the land, every 3 years you're to bring tithes and you're to bring the first fruits. And that's in chapter number 26. If you open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 26, and he instructs them to bring the first fruits always. And that will remind them of where they came from. It's good to remember where you came from. It's good to remember what God did for you, where he found you and he saved you. But I'm going to just read one verse this morning. Having told them and instructed them to bring the first fruits, and they were make some confessions before the Lord. They would acknowledge the fact that they were slaves in Egypt and that God brought them out of that bondage and God brought them into the new land. And it was a reminder that the reason they were there is what he did and how he blessed them. And he brought them into that land flowing with milk and honey. And then it says in verse 11, here's the verse that caught my attention so. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. I'm going to just read that part of the verse. He makes reference to the house and to the Levites and to the strangers. He's blessed all of them as well. But this simple statement right in the middle of all the laws and the regulations and the promises of blessing and cursing, he said, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you and praise you this morning for the fact that you're a good God. You loved us and gracious to us. You are a God of judgment, but our Father, you have no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. You would have us all to be in your presence. Even the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us here this morning, friends and guests, as well as church members, friends in the radio audience and in the media audience, that we would, Lord, listen and obey this verse, that we should rejoice and give you thanks for every good thing which the Lord our God hath given to us. Lord, I want to bow before you this morning and acknowledge there's no good thing in me, but all that is good is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I want to thank you for that. Thank you for calling and saving. And I pray, God, for your anointing and power now. Lord, I so want to be a blessing to your people. And God, if there's a man or woman, a boy, a girl, the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus, I pray, God, they get saved. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you ever heard about Christmas in July? You've heard that little ad phrase. They talk about it all the time. Christmas in July. Well, as I was thinking about this passage and read it in the last several days and kind of been rejoicing in it, I thought about Thanksgiving in July. We could have Thanksgiving. And this verse says to us again, once again, thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto me. I'd like to suggest to you a few things from this one little verse this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you and a challenge to you as well. I want you to notice in the first place that rejoicing is required. Thou shalt, you know that, notice that? He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. But now he says, thou shalt rejoice. It's just as much a requirement as those that we list in the Ten Commandments. He would have us to be a thankful and a rejoicing people. We ought to be mindful. It will remind us of the source. In this passage of Scripture, he says we ought to rejoice in every good thing the Lord has done for us. That would be past things, present things, and future things. Past things. He reminded them, when you bring this offering, you ought to remember where I brought you from. You were in bondage. You were a slave in Egypt. And how many of you, don't raise your hand, can remember when you were lost and on your way to hell? Years ago, there was a young preacher, and he wrote a book. He's came out of a drug culture, and this is many years ago. But I got to hear him preach when I was at Tennessee Temple, David Wilkerson, and he wrote a book, said, all my friends are dead. He was raised in a culture where there was drugs and stealing and murder and addiction, and people were dying of overdose, much like they are now. But God saved him out of all of that. But looking back, he thought of all of his friends, and he said, wrote the book, all my friends are dead. And you and I could have been dead. We deserved to go to hell because we had not accepted Christ. But God in His mercy spoke to us things He did for us in the past. We ought to be rejoicing every day for what He's done for us, not only our salvation, but every other good thing that He's done for you. How many of you could think back right now, almost immediately, of something God has done for you in the past that you know it was God and God blessed you? Would you raise your hand as a type of rejoicing this morning and thanking Him for what He did in the past? How many of you, has God been good to you in the present? He's blessed us today. Here we are. I mean, some of us not the best of shape. You may have limped in. You might not can see me. You may not can hear me real well. But you know, God's been good to us, and He's blessed us even this day to be able to get up and to get to the house of God. He gave you air conditioning. How many is thankful for air conditioning? Raise your hand. Boy, they shot up like a rocket that time. Thank God when it's 100 degrees, you think, my dog loves the air conditioning. I need about have to drag him out of the house to get him to go to the bathroom. But I tell you, he's ready to get right back in. Thank God for what He's doing for us today. He's blessed us in this country. So many things that you have and I have. And every day of our life, He's been good to us. Thank Him and rejoice in the things of today. But when God tells them about going into the promised land, He tells them about the blessing of the land flowing with milk and honey. He promised them provision and everything that they're going to have. He always speaks to it as present tense. He said, I have given you this land. Even before they crossed the Jordan River, even before the great battle of Jericho, He said, I have given you the land. It's yours already. And my dear friend, in the future, God has already given us some things. I don't know. I love that song. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And over at Danny's it was yesterday, I think, and Miss Teresa had been reading about the disciples crossing the sea in the middle of the storm. And she was sharing some things that God spoke to her heart about. And she said, He didn't say there wasn't going to be a storm. He just said, we're going to the other side. And He didn't tell you that you won't ever be sick. He didn't tell you won't ever have problems. But He did tell you that if you'll believe on me, I'll give you a home in heaven and you'll live there with me forever and ever. I want to rejoice this morning and thank God that I'm saved. I have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And if you're saved, you have the same thing. And if you're saved this morning and you can thank Him for what you haven't seen yet or what you hadn't received yet, but you're going to rejoice and thank Him for it right now this morning, would you raise your your hand for what you're going to see when you get to heaven, praise God. There be no blind eyes there, no ears that cannot hear. There be no lameness. There be no cancer. There be perfect peace, joy forever and ever in a place called heaven. We ought to rejoice in that. I'm telling you, we got a lot to praise the Lord about. If we spend our time thanking Him for the things of the past, every good thing in the past and every good thing in the present and every good thing in the future, wow, we'd spend most of our day praising Him. That wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? Not having the belly grubs, not gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'm rejoicing in what God's done and what He's going to do. I thank the Lord for that. But not only do I note that this rejoicing is request, I notice the provider of the blessing that causes us to be blessed. Notice in this passage of Scripture, "And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee." Everything that we just thank the Lord for, God has given to us. The Lord's done that. In the first place, you think about this. We have a president who sends me mail, sends you mail, sends me mail. He would not know me if he saw me, unless he's done, you know, search somehow or another. He doesn't know anything about me. He knows I might have an interest in his administration, or may have sent him a letter or a little money every now and then or something. He really doesn't know me. But you have a God who knows you by name. And He's the God. It is God Himself. He said, "It is the Lord, the Lord, the Lord thy God." That speaks of His supremacy. He's greater than any storm. He's greater than any sickness. He is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, and He has everything under control. The Lord, He is the Lord of all. I came over last night. Y'all missed a good song service last night. I came over late, and when I got out of the car walking up to the crosses to pray last night, God put a song in my heart. And I sang, and it was so beautiful, I turned around and looked to see if there was somebody else behind me singing. But it was in my heart, and I sang. And I just walked around on top of the hill and sang a while before I prayed. God put a song in my heart, even praised our God. And then as I stood there before I knelt, I said, "Jesus, You're Lord, Lord." He's Lord over all this property. He's Lord over this church. He has power over every demon, over every sickness. He is Lord. And it's the Lord God who's blessed you with everything you've got. Those little bitty babies that I saw this morning, the little toddlers around here, all the kids that went out, the Bible said they are heritage from the Lord. God has gifted you, and it's the Lord God eternal that did that. It speaks of His supremacy, His power, His Lord over all. But He also says it is the Lord God that has blessed us. And that is our sovereign. He is the Creator. He's sovereign. You know, He never asked anybody how to make a giraffe or a hippo or where to put the stars or anything. He just did everything just according to His will. He is the God of this universe. He fashioned everything. Formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, became a living soul, formed Eve out of a rib out of his side, performed the first major surgery. He's God. Is anything too hard for God? Nope. That's your God. This God is our God. We ought to rejoice in every good thing that this God, the God who is the only true God, the God who is nothing impossible with Him, that's your God. And you ought to be rejoicing this morning that whatever's come your way, He'll either touch you and heal you, or He'll give you grace to endure it, give you the strength to go through it. But He's got a plan. And I can just tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, if you know Him 100 years from now, everything you're worried about or concerned about right now will not matter a bit, not at all. It'll be gone forever. He'll wipe away every tear. There'll be no pain there, no sorrow there. He is God. He is the Almighty God, all-sufficient God. He is the ever-present God. He's a God that has limitless supply. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's got everything you will ever need, and He gives it to you. But then notice, not only do I notice the fact that our Lord, the supremacy of the Lord and the sovereignty of our God, but I notice here the special relationship that He allows us to have with Him. Look at it in this passage of Scripture. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God. He's our God. I'm thankful that He's our God. I don't have any other gods before Him. No gods of pleasure, no God of anything. No other people that name another name of a God. He is the God. He is our God. This God is our God, and be our guide forever and ever. Thy God. What a wonderful relationship. It's one thing to know there is a God who created everything. There's one thing to know that there is a God who is almighty. But when you can have this personal relationship with Him, that He is thy God, that's what makes the difference. I wonder, could you say this morning beyond any shadow of a doubt, He is my God. He loved you. He gave His Son for you. But He told a group of people, you're of your father, the devil. How is it? The Bible said we become children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our God. We ought to rejoice in every good thing that this God has given to us. Every good thing. But now notice not only this about the sovereignty of our Savior and the supremacy of our Savior and the sovereignty of our God, but notice the scope of the blessings and praise. What should our rejoicing encompass? Thou shalt rejoice in every good thing, every one of them, every one of your good thing. We had some time with the family up at the lake this week, and it was wonderful. We were blessed. I had a great time. When we came back home on Friday, we was talking about eating. We do a lot of talking about eating. I don't know if you do that or not. But Regina said, I'd like to have some fresh corn and some butter, beans, and tomatoes. That's all I want. So we went up to the produce stand, and we got some fresh white corn. They didn't have any butter beans, so we bought some frozen butter beans, bought some fresh tomatoes, and we ate that. And I kept telling her, this is wonderful. It was like manna. I mean, fresh corn and butter beans and tomatoes cut up in a big bowl and a little bit of salt on them. It was wonderful. Everything. You ever think about everything? Somebody reminded me of a little story I used to tell a lot. Don't tell it much. When we were living in Roanoke Rapids, I was assistant pastor of my home church. And of course, I had grown up there. Oh, that's where we went to when I was younger and got saved there and got called to preach there. Wayne Carter was in the church there, and he led the singing, but he also taught the junior boys. And the choir assembled like we do, and Regina and I sang in the choirs in those days. And Wayne came in, and he was laughing. And he said, we had sentence prayers. I don't know if any of our Sunday class has sentence prayers or not, but everybody prays, but they just pray a little simple thing. You know, thank you for mama, thank you for my dog, thank you for that. And said, this little boy in there, he was coming around, everybody's thanking him for the normal things, you know, mama and daddy and so on and so on. And he said, Lord, I want to thank you for the butter beans. And that was his prayer. And Wayne said, I got tickled about that. A little boy being thankful for butter beans. But you know, if I was to ask you what you had for lunch, first thing you'd say was what, you know, the main entree. I had steak and gravy, or I had fried chicken. But you had more than that. This little fellow was thanking him for the side, for the butter bean. Every good thing. You just think about the little things God's done for you. Think about the things we take for granted and just pass it off. How long has it been since you just thanked Him for the butter beans? Thank Him for the simple things in your house, in your family, little things He's done for you. The scope of it is to be this. Everything, you're to praise Him for everything. Because you know why? The Bible said that every good and every perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. You wouldn't have anything to be thankful for if it had not been for Him. Every good and perfect thing comes down from God, the Father of lights. He did send the butter beans. He did send the corn. He did send the tomatoes. He did send you air conditioning. Every good thing has come from Him. Satan will dangle things in front of you, offer you the pleasure of sin for a season. But everything the devil gives you has got a hook in it. And his ultimate end is not for you to be happy, but for you to be damned for eternity in a place called hell. You're God's crowning creation. God loved you so much He gave His Son. And so consequently, Satan hates you. And he's not going to do one thing for you that will benefit you in the long run. Everything he's doing for you is to get you to follow Him, love Him, serve Him, and be in eternity in hell because of it. But everything God gives us is for our good and for His glory. And we're to thank Him for everything and acknowledge that it all came from Him. Physical blessings. You think about all the physical blessings God's given you through the years. And our bodies are wearing out, some of us. But that's just the natural course of things. But He's going to give you a body like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ one of these days. Perfect body. It's going to be amazing. You'll be able to just go and do anything you want to. If you want to go through a wall, you go through a wall. Anything, you could do that. But it's always blessed me that in His resurrected body, He could eat fish. He ate fish and bread. And I love fish. And I'm looking forward. Think about all the physical things He's blessed you with. Go through your house. I had you to do around Thanksgiving. Get your spiral notebook because you'll need one with at least 70 pages. And write down every little thing that you're thankful for in your house. For the steps to get in the house. For a handrail to hold on to you when you go up the steps. For a lock on your door so you can keep the invaders from coming into your home. Thank God for lights. You walk in your house at night, flip a switch and nothing comes on and you miss it. But you go in 100 times a day or night and turn it on, light comes on, you don't think nothing about it. Thank God for the light switch. Thank God for the light bulb. Thank God for everything in your pantry. Thank God for running water. Thank God for indoor bathroom. Thank God for everything you've got. And you never finish hardly even filling that notebook. You thank Him for everything physical, but thank Him for the emotional things He's given you. What would it be like not to be able to feel love or to share love? The Bible said the Holy Ghost has shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. God put love inside of us. Love for a husband, love for a wife, love for children, for them to love you. It's such a blessing if you've got grandchildren and they're getting ready to leave or whatever, and they come by and hug your neck and say, I love you, Granny. I love you, Papa. That's God's gift to us. Think about the good things. You ought to rejoice in every good thing that He's given to you. I love seeing these young couples come through here with children, whole line of children. Dear lady back there has got a row full of them back there. We got several couples, got a lot of children. I thank God for that. Thank God for that. That's God's gift. And the love that mamas and daddies have, and the children have, and the grandparents and everybody, that's all part of God's gift to us. The emotion of love. Peace. Thank God there are many people today, hundreds, who will take their life because they have no peace. They've tried everything in the world and they can't find any peace. And you have peace. Thank God for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Even when you're going through hard times, there's a peace about it. When we were over in Israel with Ralph, and I started hemorrhaging that night, and basically I pretty much bled out. I passed out. But I had a perfect peace. You know, it's strange. I know Regina was, she was trying to get everybody, get people to help me, and I got down and they had to get me up, got me into bed and this, that, and the other. But through all of that, I had a peace. One thing I was just thinking about, boy, this is going to be really neat. I get to go to heaven from Jerusalem. You know, and I know that's weird, but I thought that's exactly what I thought. I really thought I might go home and be with the Lord. And I had a perfect peace about it. I've watched some of you. It's not easy to give up your wife or your husband or even children. But I've seen God give you peace. I've seen God work in families. People who wanted so to stay here and be with their family, but there came a point in time when the Holy Ghost of God said, it's time for you to come home. And He breathed peace into that individual. And then that peace spread to all the family, that mama's ready to go. She's happy. She's looking forward to it. And God gives you that peace. He's giving you peace. If you've ever had a restful night, that's a gift from God. He gave you that gift. The Bible said that you'll lay down and rest because the God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Every good thing emotionally, every good thing physically. But the greatest of all the gifts is what He's done for us spiritually. Thank Him for all the gifts, it said, for every gift, for the gift of His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You don't understand that unless you got a boy. When I was pastoring over at Micro and Parish Memorial Baptist Church, we were all right on over here on the highway and at a young man's, the last name was Price. I can't remember the first name. Regina would help me. But anyhow, we were over there. You can tell it was a long time ago because I was playing basketball. And she was in the house with the ladies. And somebody came and said, Regina said, we need to go home. And that, so I thought we'd, you know, play a little bit longer, a little bit. And somebody came to the door and said, Regina said, she really needs to go home. And I went in and she was in labor. We went home and laid there for just a few minutes, but it wasn't long. We had to get up, came to the hospital to Smithfield. And we stayed. I'll cut it short. Anyhow, that night, Charles was born. We have Rh factor. We'd had two girls, and they said, I'm a positive, she's a negative, I think it is. But that sometime if you have boys or girls, one or the other, whichever you have first, if you're going to have any kind of problem, it's if you have the other. Like we had girls, and if we ever had a son, he might have some issues. And so I kind of had resigned myself to that. We had two girls. Christy had gone on to be with the Lord in heaven, and Melissa was there at home. Little baby, young, anyway, a little over a year old, I think. But at any rate, I was in that waiting area. In those days, they didn't probably want him to be in the hospital, let alone in the delivery room. But we was in the little waiting area, and there's a young black man there, and his wife's having a baby. I talked to him about the Lord, witnessed to him, told him about Jesus, and told me, man, nothing like knowing Christ. And we just got through sharing with him, and he said, I'm going to really think about that. And about that time, the nurse came down the hall, and she had a baby. I could see wrapped in a blanket coming down that hall. And when she got down to the delivery room, he and I both were wondering, and she motioned to me. And I went out the hall, and she rolled back the blanket. She said, would a little boy be all right? And boy, I had a fit. I didn't say anything, but she could tell by the way I was turning flips up and down the hall that I was right excited. And they wouldn't let me stay all night with her. She and the baby had to stay there. So I went back home. And I think somebody had Melissa. But I laid in the bed. And I said, Lord, I can't believe you gave me a son. Can't believe you gave me and Regina a little boy. And then that night, the Holy Ghost of God said to me, I gave you a son a long time before I ever gave you Charles. And I got out of the bed and got on my knees. And I said, Lord, I know now how it must have felt for you to give your son to die for sinners. I don't believe there's a person in this building I'd let Charles die for you. But God loved you so much, He gave you His son. And we ought to be rejoicing in Thanksgiving in July for the Son of God that died for us that we might have everlasting life. Amen. He not only gave you His Son, but He gave you faith. And Brother Barry preached part of my message this morning. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You're saved by grace through faith, but that's not your faith. He gave you faith to believe. Isn't that weird? He gave His Son to die for you, and then He gave you the faith to believe on Him to be saved and get to go to heaven. He gave you repentance. The Bible said about God granting repentance, even the repentance that you did when you trusted Christ. That was a gift from God as well. He granted repentance to you so you would be willing. In the day of His power, He said His people would be made willing. God fixed you to where you would. He gave you the desire to repent. He gave you the ability to repent. He gave you salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you everlasting life. John 15, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father. He gave us faith. He gave us repentance. He gave us everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? Oh, how God gave us. We ought to thank God always, rejoice always, and rejoice. And He wants us to be happy about it. And sometimes we don't act like we're happy about it, that our sins are gone. Cast as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the sea. He gave us forgiveness, full, free, and forever forgiveness. There's therefore no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus. My dear friend, your sins, if you're saved, you're just as sure for heaven as you're there already right now. You're going to be there because He forgave you forever of every sin when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. Even beyond that, He gave us a land. The Bible said that Abraham searched for a land, and he searched for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was a stranger and a pilgrim down here. Well, that's really what we are. I love it down here. I love it. Last week, I went up to the first time in all these years to the Singing in the Smokies. We were up there for 2 days. It was beautiful. Beautiful mountain and singing, the presence of God was real. Great preaching, great singing, rejoicing, and the landscape was just awesome. That's wonderful that God did that. And thank God for it. We were up at the lake for a few days this week, and I love it. I grew up on that lake. It's hard for my family to believe that we were living there when they made Lake Gaston. And I fished in Lake Gaston where there was not one house anywhere on it. Now there's not a place big as this pulpit that don't have a house up on Lake Gaston now. But I had the joy and privilege of fishing on it, riding up, spend days up there, not see a single house anywhere up and down the 350 miles of shoreline. God's good to me. Been good to you. But what I've enjoyed down here, I love where I live at. Thank God for it. Thank God for all He's ever let us have. I've enjoyed being wherever I was at. God did bless me to that I could be content. I love it. We've got to go. Old people watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. You can get an amen, okay? They give away trips on there. Regina and I sit there and say, hey, we've been there. We've been there. God let us go so many places. We've been to the Philippines, been to Germany, been so many states, national parks and everything. God's been good to us. But we've never been to heaven yet. And what we've seen down here and what He's blessed us with down here is no way to compare it to what it's going to be when we get to our heavenly home. And I'm going to thank Him for it now. I'm going to rejoice in it now. There'll be a place where there's no separation. We'll get to see our little girl. I don't know what she'll look like, but I know I'll know her. Regina will know her. Get to be with our family that's there. We get to meet Paul and Moses and all that are there. That's part of the deal. That's a gift. He gave you that gift. An inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And He said, we're to rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? Thanksgiving and rejoicing in July. Thou shalt. How long has it been since you just were rejoicing in His goodness? He wants you to enjoy and be blessed and rejoice in your salvation, in His blessing on you spiritually, physically, every other way. What He's done for you in the past, what He's doing for you in the present, what He's going to do for you in the future, to rejoice in Him. There's something about it that rejoicing has a healing virtue to it. It reminds us of where all our blessings came from, which the Lord thy God hath given to thee. Reminds me that He loved me. Reminds me that I'm His and He is mine. Thy God, rejoicing, just rejoicing. But some of you in this building don't have anything to rejoice about right now because you've never ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And all that I've tried to explain to you that He's given to us and blessed you with, He makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. Even though you don't know Him, you've never trusted Him as your Savior, He's given you every mouthful of food you've ever eaten. He's given you every drink of water that you've ever had. He is a God who's provided for you. He's God that does that. He's the only one can, only one that has. But the greatest of all the gifts He's given to you is His Son. But many in this building, maybe, and in the media audience, have never received Him. He gave Him to die for you, paid your sin debt, offers it to you now as a free gift, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If God's put it in your heart to believe on Him, to trust Him, you must respond to that and by faith receive Him as your Savior and Lord. And for those of us who are saved, maybe the devil's been beating you up a little bit lately, done more complaining about the heat than you have rejoicing about your air conditioner, rejoicing that you have a home to be in, rejoicing for all that He's done for you. We have to be careful because it's our human nature to whine and complain. And yet we ought to be rejoicing in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given to thee. Maybe some of you this morning who right where you are, you might want to raise your hand and just rejoice and thank Him. Maybe you want to get around this altar and thank Him. All I know is this, what God told me to preach. You got to decide what you're supposed to do about it. But if you don't know Christ, you can be saved today if you will believe on Him. Our friends in the media audience right now, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'd encourage you, if you're saved, to spend some time today and the rest of this week and for the rest of your life rejoicing in Him. Doesn't want you to gloom, despair, and agony on me. Doesn't want you to be poor-mouthing all the time, complaining all the time. He wants you to be rejoicing in what God's done for you and be thankful for what you have and for what He's done. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, I ask now in Jesus' name that God, You would do for Your people what Your intent is to do. I've tried to obey You in preaching what You laid on my heart, that we should rejoice in every good thing as the Lord our God hath given to us. And Lord, help us to be mindful of Your blessing on all of us. You've got a plan. We're going to trust You with it. Some of us will go through sickness, sorrows, or problems. But God, I'm glad that You're the peace of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Your grace is sufficient. And I thank You for that. We're going to rejoice in Your abiding presence, Your sufficient grace, and the fact that this too will pass. One of these days, won't ever have a back pain again, never have any cancer, diabetes, any other thing. And we're going to thank You for it now. We're going to rejoice in what You're going to do just as surely as if it's already done. And I'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name.